Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. If you have a Pew Bible, you can find it on page 948. And the words should be on the screen behind me as well. It's actually Romans 13, it's not Romans 1. So if the words are not behind me, you can just listen along or page 948. Romans 13, verses 1 through 10. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You may be seated.
As Mark was reading that, I was thinking to myself, if we truly understood what it meant to love one another, we would not need law enforcement. But we appreciate your presence today and your participation with us in giving you the glory that is due. In fact, Paul says in Romans 13, give honor to whom honor is due and respect to whom respect is due. And he makes that comment right in the middle of this passage on government and authorities and bearing the sword, which means government has the ability, a God-ordained ability, to keep the peace. And so we thank you for all that you've done for us. I want to start with a contemporary philosopher. You may have not heard of them as philosophers, but there's a group out there called Alabama. They are a country music group. And they have an amazing song, and I just enjoy listening to it every time. It says, I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die. I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. But God gives us Sundays, and many of you law enforcement folks work on Sundays, and we appreciate that because we know it's significant for our peace and stability in our communities. You know, there are gun-free zones, and that seems that's where all of the mass shootings take place. And if police took off on Sundays, we would probably have an open season from criminals to take advantage of that particular day. But we are thankful that you're there. But I have felt like that hamster in the cage. You know, I used to not raise hamsters, but I had several when I was a kid in fifth and sixth grade. And they get in that little squirrel cage and they just start going and it makes a lot of noise. And it's just like, oh, that's a great life, isn't it? This running around in circles. And oftentimes we as people are doing the same thing. We're so busy, and we have so much to do, and You know, as I'm communicating with people throughout the week, there are so many people communicating with me that I'm not sure if I got a text, if I got an email, if I got an email from which account, if was it a phone call? I mean, there's just so much going on. You wonder, what on earth are we doing? And do we ever slow down enough to think about all that law enforcement goes through for us? You know, I've been a chaplain for over 30 years with Farmington Hills and with Michigan Chiefs of Police. And there are a couple things I'd like to share with you. I don't see everything that these men and women see every day. But I can tell you that the things that they see are horrible. You know, I can't even imagine sitting in my car. And guys, I appreciate it when you come here to have your lunch break in our parking lot. That's awesome. It's cool. It's like, okay, they're protecting the building. They're protecting us, you know, and it's just neat to see you there. Chief, you didn't hear that. Well, it is during their lunch break that they're here. So it's legit. But you know, the things I've imagined myself as an officer sitting in a car when the craziness breaks out after something that gets nationally publicized. I can imagine sitting in my car thinking, what if somebody's behind the tree and they're going to shoot me while I'm sitting here in the car? I mean, if I was an officer, I'd be thinking that every day as I drive around, sitting at a red light. I'd keep my windows open or shut. And it would just be weird. You know, as a chaplain, I've seen some pretty horrendous things here in Farmington Hills, and I'm not going to go into all of them, but I can tell you that there are times when I say, Lord God, I'm glad you didn't call me to be an officer. Because they see things that they will never forget. They have smells from crime scenes they've been on that will never go away. And so, when we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, it says, give honor to whom honor is due. That's the word of God telling you and me as citizens to every time we see them at a red light, give them a thumbs up. Say hello, thank you for your service. As we look at this passage, I want to consider just a couple things first. I want us to think about the background. When the Apostle Paul wrote this, these phrases, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. He was not intending here at this passage to talk about legitimate and illegitimate governments. I understand there are illegitimate governments. People overtake them by power. There's an oligarchy, or there's an individual who, just because he's got a gun, says, I'm in charge now. That just because someone has power doesn't mean that they have authority. But in our passage, the Apostle Paul is telling us to respect those who are in authority. Not those who have unlawful power, but those who are in authority. And as I look at these words from Paul, it's really fascinating because in many ways, Paul had run-ins with the law. In Philippi, he was arrested, beaten, and thrown in jail. He wasn't a criminal. He didn't do anything wrong. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was exercising his free speech as a Roman citizen, and he gets thrown in jail, gets beaten, thrown in jail for simply proclaiming that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. My friends, that's crazy. But as Paul proclaimed that message, he says that many times he was arrested. He tells us that in his biographies, in several of his letters that he writes. I was arrested, I was thrown in jail, I was left for dead. He goes on and on. And he describes those situations even after coming in contact with law enforcement. And he says, you as citizens need to respect the authorities that are over you. I don't know about you, but that would be a hard thing to say. A hard thing to write. A hard thing to live out. You see, Paul came under the attack because when Paul went into a city and he would say that Jesus Christ is Lord, the common phrase was Caesar is Lord, and Paul would come in and say, no, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is higher than Caesar, Jesus is risen from the dead, he's now ruling and reigning from heaven. When Paul would present that message that Jesus is Lord, what that meant is, Caesar, you are not God, and you are not the most important person on this planet. What it also said was all of the temples, as Paul walked into Athens and he saw the Parthenon, as he walked into Corinth, and he saw the temple there as he walked into Philippi, and he saw the temple to Diana as he walked into these cities, and he proclaims that Jesus is Lord. What he's telling them is all of these idols and statues that are wood or stone overlaid with gold and silver, those are meaningless. You know, the Old Testament describes what Paul tells us as well in Acts 17, that an image has eyes but can't see. It has ears but can't hear. It may be fashioned like half man, half animal, but it's just an image. And so Paul came under attack, and he realized that his life was given to preach that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And he's writing that in a very tumultuous environment. At least it was for Christians. Because in many ways, as Paul lived his years of ministry, he saw various Roman rulers put Christians to death. And yet he writes these words to be subject to the governing authorities. So that's a little bit of the background that we have in this passage. The basics of what this means are these, that there's an eternal reason why we are to be subject as citizens to the governing authorities, and the eternal reason is simply that God has instituted. I mean, you look at these words that are used. In verse 1, governing authorities are instituted by God. God has approved. He says that the rulers are God's servants. Remember, if you go to England and Europe, it's the minister of finance. It's the minister of commerce. And the word minister means servant. That's what it was. That's why ministers of the gospel, like myself, are servants of the people, servants of the Lord. The Greek word behind there, I don't know if you guys, what church you all go to, but you've heard the word deacon, right? You know that there are elders and deacons in the church. And Paul says that that law enforcement is God's deacon. They're his servants. So when we look at them, that's how we need to see them. So when you get pulled over and you say, I was going under the speed limit and you weren't, you're talking to one of God's servants. I mean, are you going to lie to me or are you going to lie to them? You know, yes, officer, I was over the speed limit. Anyway, as we look at this, Paul says, we as citizens need to demonstrate that we are living righteously, godly. And when that happens, we're worshiping the Lord with the things that we have been given. So his first order of business is to remind us all that God has instituted government. He's instituted law enforcement. That helps me greatly. And I will tell you this, that as I talk to the men and women who wear the blue uniform, it doesn't matter what department it is, but when I talk to them, I am comforted to know this, that if there's a bad actor in law enforcement, nobody wants that person on their staff. If somebody does something that's horrendously bad or wrong, or the best thing is to let them go, fire them, or encourage them to leave, or somehow make a path out the door. Because nobody in any profession wants to have somebody ruin the name. So Paul reminds us that even in difficult times, under difficult governments, God has instituted people who have a conscience. And I can tell you every law enforcement officer I know has a conscience to do that which is right in the sight of God. He talks about this external reason why people need to do good. It says, well, if you do good, you're not going to be punished. And some people view that. I mean, well, okay, I'm going to drive 1 mile an hour under the speed limit so that I don't get caught because I don't want to pay higher insurance premiums. And that's great. You're looking simply at the punishment aspect, but Paul says there's another reason why we are to honor those who wear the badge and those in government. And the reason why, he says, for conscience sake. In other words, it's not just fear of reprisal or fear of going to court. It's that God has called us to do that. And I can't think of a higher thing to do than to demonstrate from Romans chapter 12 when Paul says that in the world in which you live, that you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then he goes into chapter 13 of what it means to live in the world in which we live. So believe it or not, when you're obeying the laws that have been established, you're demonstrating that you worship God. Because you have God who has set people in authority, and those people in authority are those who are protecting us. Well, the last thing I want to bring out here this morning is what he says, to give honor to whom honor is due. If you were to take the word honor in our text and chase it around the scriptures, there are five groups that God says to honor. Honor your father and your mother. Honor those who are in authority over you. Honor the elderly. Honor the church officers. And he says in 1 Timothy 1, to honor God. These are all institutions and groups that God respects because he has established them. He has put groups into being that you and I, as we look at life, there are people that we are to respect and honor. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, government, law enforcement. Why? Because in honoring those folks, we are honoring God, because he has called us to give honor to whom honor is due. In our context, how do we do that? Well, obviously, we recognize their God-given role. That's what Romans 12 is all about. That's what Romans 13 is. It comes on the heels of that. We recognize that our honoring God is not just here. You know, we're here for an hour or two on Sunday. We could say, all right, we're honoring the Lord here by coming on Sunday. We're honoring him by giving. We're honoring him by worshiping. We're honoring him by caring for one another and loving our neighbor, you know, loving our church members. But the world wants you and me to see that our religion is just within these four walls. But God takes it beyond that. He says, if you want to honor me, honor those who are in law enforcement. Verse 7, I know we all love this verse. This is why you pay taxes. Do you realize that when you get up in the morning, you flip the light on, you're paying taxes on it. You brush your teeth, you're paying taxes on the toothpaste, you're paying taxes on the water that's going down the drain, you're paying taxes on the cup you just drank out of to rinse your mouth. You pay taxes on the sheets you slept on. You pay taxes on the gas you put in your car and on the coffee you bought. Do we not say we're taxed enough already? But when you look at Scripture, you know what's interesting? It says government's only purpose is to protect its citizens, and that's why you pay taxes. But, of course, government comes in all these other doors, and they want their little piece of your income. But we should gladly pay our taxes, at least our local taxes, because you know they're going to your local police departments. And that's what Paul's bringing up in this passage. Taxes keep law enforcement around for your benefit. He also says that we would honor with joy. We pay taxes with joy. We give to the Lord with joy. As I mentioned, this is Law Enforcement Appreciation Sunday, and we're glad that you've joined with us to allow us to honor you and to thank you. As Mark prayed, there's over 350 officers who have died in the line of duty last year. Now, I didn't take that from COVID to COVID, March to March, but that was in 2020. 364 officers died. I have to add this, I'm sorry, because I'm going to forget. Chief Nick Lentine from Redford does not have a brain tumor. It was one of his officers. That was a bad on my part, and I probably didn't pass it on clearly enough to Mark. So I just got to straighten it out before, if anyone's listening, the poor chief's going to get all kinds of emails. Sorry we didn't hear about that. But he does not have a brain tumor. Thank the Lord for that. In 2020, 364 officers died. They risk their lives that we can put our heads on our pillows every night. When they walk out their door and they say, good, see you later, hon, or kids, I'll see you this afternoon, I can't help but think that the climate we're living in, that they wonder, am I really going to come home tonight? I don't mean to bring up any traumatic situations with my brothers and sisters who are in law enforcement, but I can't help but think that you guys go through that. And we as citizens need to make sure that they are honored, that they are respected. We need to do whatever we can, speak up wherever you are. Every time I drive by a police car and he has somebody pulled over, I slow down in the other lane, but I look to make sure that everything's okay. Because I would pull over and help that officer if he was in trouble. As good Samaritans, you should do that too. You should keep your eyes open for that. But I will say this. I don't even know how many officers have died in the line of duty. But Jesus Christ said this, and I know my officer brothers and sisters have heard this so many times at a funeral, but it's so true. There is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And we see that when one of our law enforcement officers dies in the line of duty. But I have to tell you this, that there's another death that took place 2,000 years ago, and it was the death of Jesus Christ. Like law enforcement, he gave his life to protect us. He gave his life not only to protect us, but to take the punishment that was due to us and give us life. You see, when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate was all angry, and he said, "Do you not know, Jesus Christ, that I have the ability to have you crucified?" Jesus acknowledged the very same thing that Paul did in Romans chapter 13. He said, "Pilate, you don't have any authority unless it's been given to you by my Heavenly Father." We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus knew that giving his life, laying it down, wasn't just an act of kindness and nicety. He knew that it would redeem you, that it would forgive your sins, that he would cancel the debt that you owed to God. That's why he willingly came to this planet. That's why he was born in a manger. That's why he was clothed in human flesh. The eternal Son of God took upon himself human flesh, walked on this planet like you and I do, without sin, to be that person who could pay the debt that you and I owed. I'm going to conclude with a story I heard from another pastor, a friend of mine, in a church down in Jackson, Mississippi. He has a district judge in his church, and the judge sees cases every day. And there was a man who came into the courtroom, and he had a long list of things that he was guilty of, and most of them were just small things. Traffic lights, driving on a suspended license, things. I mean, he wasn't a huge criminal. He hadn't killed anybody or stolen anything, but they were the list and the fines were significant. So the judge said to him, "Sir, I can either have you pay your $2,500 now. You can do time to cancel that out, or you can go to jail or do some community service over the next 2 weeks." And he said to the judge, he said, "Your Honor, I don't have the money. If I do time, I lose my job and my family doesn't have any food. If I'm sentenced to community service, I lose my job because I won't be able to go to my job." The judge recessed the court. He went back in his room, took off his robe, and he went around to the window, and he paid that man's fees. A Christian judge paid the fees. He came back, reassembled the courtroom, and he said, "Sir, your debt has been paid." And he said, "How did that happen?" He said, "I went and paid it." He said, "Judge, why would you pay my debt?" He said, "Because you couldn't, and because I have a Savior who paid for my debt, and I wanted to do for you what happened to me." The story ends by that man becoming a Christian and joining that pastor's church. But that's how our faith affects what we do. And that's why, for those of you in law enforcement, we're so glad to be a part of your lives. We will always be a part of your lives. Whether it's from the deacons giving money to help you guys have your Christmas meal or whatever, or another law enforcement Sunday next year, we will be part of your lives. And we're thankful that you've joined us today. So I would just conclude by saying this. Do you understand the gravity of what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me, that he paid your debt? The Apostle Paul wrote that if the rulers of this world had understood what Christ did and who he was, they would not have crucified him. But the cross was the means by which God showed his love to you and to me. And the only thing he asks from you is that you would place your faith in his Son. That you would say, Lord Jesus, I understand you died on the cross for my sins. You paid a debt that I owed, and my sins are now forgiven. And because of that, I want to live for you. If you understand that, my friends, your sins are forgiven. You are a free person, and you have eternal life, being adopted into the family of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for that message of your sovereign control over a world that seems to be going crazy. Lord, we pray that as Christians, we would stand up for truth, that we would stand up for law enforcement, that you would give us the courage in every opportunity to remind people that you are God. You have placed men and women in law enforcement to protect us, to keep peace, and we want to give honor to them and give respect. And so we thank you, Lord, that as we look at life, as we understand it from your word, that you've called us to demonstrate to a needy world, a world that's blind, a world that's in darkness, how we can honor you by honoring those you have placed over us. And we will give you thanks, Lord, if you should choose to open somebody's eyes today to see the glory of Jesus Christ. We'll give you honor in advance. Amen. As we conclude our time this morning, we're going to sing He Knows My Name. This song was chosen because you may not know this, but God knows your name. And as we sing this in conclusion, I trust that these words will echo in your mind and heart as we bring our service to an end. Let's stand together as we sing this song.